Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us this morning. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. It's my pleasure also to introduce you to an old friend of ours. Jeffrey Dobkin is one of the longtime members of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a couple of outstanding books, Uncommon Marketing Techniques and How to Market a Product for Under $500. He is one of our top marketing guys, but he also happens to be one of our top invention guys. He helps inventors to live their dream. Jeffrey, welcome back.
Thanks a lot. Boy, there's a lot of stuff to go for inventors because there's a lot of bad guys out there.
You got to be careful, don't you?
You do. Yeah, and you know,
it seems like the bad guys are the ones who do all the advertising, and the good guys sort of just hide their light under a bushel, so to speak.
Well, what happens is the bad guys make so much money from scamming the inventors.
Yeah.
Individual inventors, they got all the money for the marketing.
Who are the bad guys out there?
Well, I don't think I can mention any names because they do
I was going to make sure we mentioned your mailing address.
But I can tell you, there's some good guys out there, and you can find some information about the bad guys on the UIAUSA.org website. UIAUSA, that's United Inventors Association, USA.org. Website. And also, you know, the patent site now has, since there are so many people preying on the innocent inventor, they have now just started to list complaints about the inventor organizations on their site. So, and they don't do reviews or anything, but they are starting to list all their all the complaints. So if you have a complaint about an invention service, then you can go to their site and you can post what happened to you. And if you're looking for someone who says, well, we help inventors, then you can go to the site and make sure that they're not on the bad guys list.
What is that website again, the patent office?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
U.S. Patent?
I think it's U.S. Patent, USPTO.
No, that doesn't get it.
.gov, something like that. But
yeah, we'll get that up for you in a little bit, folks. But the main thing, I've gone to the other website you gave us, UIAUSA.gov.
Yes.
.com gets you. Is it .com or .org?
It's .org.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That one and actually .com works as well. But that one is the United Inventors Association's website. It says here, click here to find out about your assessment program, about their assessment program.
Yeah.
It's got a bookstore there.
Yeah.
There's a site map where you can kind of navigate the thing. It talks about who they are and the membership benefits and all that. Is this sort of a clearinghouse where if it doesn't go through these people, you know, they're not really serious about helping you?
Well, not exactly, but they are one of the larger self-help grassroots go-to places in the United States. It's an umbrella group for a lot of other inventor organizations that are found.
It's like an inventor's trade group, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Like an industry trade group kind of thing.
Yes, that's right. Who don't get paid, because I was on the board for many years there. But they're some of the good guys, and I know one of the best features of their sites is they have about 500 questions that were asked to panels of experts. I was the marketing guy on there, about inventions and about inventing. And
yep.
We answered the
Here
questions.
Here it is, about four down, ask the experts.
Yeah, so if you have questions or if you want to read about inventing or inventions or about marketing or patenting, you can go in there and just read the wonderful answers that the experts have written.
Mm-hmm.
Your question's probably in there.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, this is a great resource. If you're an inventor, you need to know about this site and spend some time in it because you know, Jeffrey, I wonder how many people out there who are inventing things, who want to be an inventor or who are inventing things, you know, don't want to take the time to do this kind of due diligence. But it's really essential, isn't it?
Well, if you're really going to move forward, I think what you got to do right up front when you invent something is say, what do I want to do with this? I mean, it's okay if you don't want to move it forward and just say, tell people I have an idea, and that's fine. And that's what happens to most inventors. They get a little bit afraid to mention their idea to somebody else, that they're going to steal it, and eventually they wind up seeing it in a catalog somewhere. But,
right.
You know, if that's what you want to do, that's okay, too. If you want to move forward, there's a couple ways to move forward. One is to move forward toward licensing, and the other is to move forward to marketing yourself.
Let's talk about that when we come back after these messages, Jeffrey. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. Jeffrey Dopkin is our guest. He's the author of Uncommon Marketing Techniques and How to Market a Product for Under $500. That's Dopkin.com, isn't it, Jeff?
That's right.
We'll be right back. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around this morning with our good friend Jeffrey Dopkin, who's our guest this half hour, and he and I are talking about inventions. And Jeff, I'm at that website, and it's USPTO.gov, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
And that's
US
the one
Patent
that has
Trademark
all the
Office.
That's the one that has all the patents on it.
That's the one. It says it's USPTO.gov, so it's the official one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got you can do a search. You can find out about them. Let's see, you got a list of the patents. International protection, patent-related processing, resources, trademarks, all the information that you need to find out, you know, more about what you need to do to make your invention or your idea legal, or to decide not to make it, or not to make it public, I should say. I shouldn't say legal. I should say public, because that's what patenting your invention does, isn't it? It really makes it public, doesn't it?
It does, but there's a good thing about patenting, and that is when you first get a patent, you get a patent pending, until you actually get the patent, it's shrouded in secrecy. So that you have like almost, I think you have like 18 months where no one can see what your claims are, which is what the patent is based on. So you have 18 months of secrecy. So that way, if you come out with your product and it has patent pending on it, anybody that tries to knock your patent off runs the risk of violating one of your claims. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, then you can prosecute them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about $4,000 or $5,000 for a patent, and then a patent is only good if you want to use it to protect yourself and file against somebody and file an injunction and a lawsuit to stop somebody else from making your product. So the $4,000 or $5,000 is just the beginning. After
that's
that,
really important. That's really important to understand, isn't it, Jeff? Because if you aren't prepared to defend your patent, then you probably shouldn't even get one.
Well, if you have a great idea, I mean, that might be the way to go. That has a very, very protectable patent, because there are all kinds of patents, and some of them are really good. They're defensible in court, and some of them are really terrible. That, you know, when somebody really digs through the other patents, they can find things and say that are so close that your patent will not offer you protection. So it's
but
not
the thing, but what happens though, Jeff, is a big organization that wants to knock off of your patent can tie you up in court for a lot longer than a lot of us small guys can stand to stay in court, and we basically, you know, wind up not fighting them. And I think that's probably what a lot of the people who are prepared to steal your stuff will do. And so that's the reason why, you know, Jeffrey, as you've heard me say before, the reason I encourage small inventors to try to find somebody to partner with and to do the licensing thing. What do you think?
And that is a great philosophy. I think that you're absolutely right. It's very prevalent in the TV industry, where if you hit a home run in a TV product, it can mean $100 million in sales. So what they do is they set aside a legal fund, and they just go ahead and step all over your patent, and they say, well, we'll put aside $100,000, and when we run out of $100,000, we'll either give the product back, or if we see that he isn't going to make that, then we'll take the product over.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way a lot of these companies work. But if you have a very, very good, tight patent, you know, you might be able to withstand something like that because they know they're eventually going to lose. And if they lose badly, then you can sue them for all the money that they make.
Well, see, and this comes, and Jeffrey, this comes back to what do you want to be? Do you want to be an inventor, or do you want to be a litigator and a business manager? You know, a business owner. A lot of inventors don't want to go through all the details that you just described.
Yes, and that's right. And so I think that what you had mentioned that licensing is a good way to go if you can find a partner that and there's a lot of them out there that are willing to work with you and develop your product for you and then split the revenues, then that's the way to go. What you have to remember when you start to look around for a license is that your product has less value if it is not in a developed state. In other words, if you have a napkin drawing that, you know, something that you scribbled out a couple nights ago while you were at a bar and say, well, here's my $1 million idea, it has very, very little value to someone who wants to license it. But as you develop the product, as you make a prototype or a manufacturing prototype or make sure it works, that increases the value. You should also remember that as good as your product is, nobody's probably going to offer you more than 3 or 4% of the gross for your product. It's mm-hmm. just not, you know, people say, oh, and I'll split the revenues 50-50 to the guy who markets it in the company. That's not realistic. It's 2 or 3%. It's 5% if you're a really tough negotiator and it's a great product. That's it.
Now, is that of the gross? You're not talking about gross revenue, are you?
I'm talking about the gross sales from that company. In other words, if you sell it to a wholesaler and he sells the product to $10 to a retailer, then you make 3% of the $10.
Right,
not of
30
the,
cents.
Right, so but not of what the retailer will sell for, and that would probably be $20.
Mm-hmm.
So numbers are pretty small, but you know, you can step away, and if somebody has a lot of money to invest, if you sold your product to a big firm who's going to put $1 million or $2 million into marketing it, then they're going to make the money back. And the single
it's amazing the people that I've met, Jeffrey, who are inventors, who thought that they were going to become the manufacturer and, you know, create a, they were going to become the next Henry Ford. And, you know, you hate to throw water on them because who knows, they might. But you and I both know the chances are pretty slim. And to me, if I were an inventor, I'd be wanting to go for the high percentage play. Tintill, we'll be right back with our good friend Jeffrey Dobkin. Stay with us.
What would you do if I sang out of tune?
We're back. It's 7-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Jeffrey Dobkin, the author of Uncommon Marketing Techniques and How to Market a Product for Under $500. And you can find those at Dobkin.com, D-O-B-K-I-N. Also, don't forget my website, www.jbsba.com. You can find Jeffrey on my site. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter that comes every week by email. And I want to give you a couple more websites here, folks, along the invention theme. UIAUSA.com or .org. When I go to .org, Jeff, it also brings up .com. So apparently that .com's okay too.
Okay.
And also, folks, and that's where you can go to find the Inventors Trade Group. That's United Inventors Association website. And then here's USPTO.gov. That's the Patent and Trademark Office website. And those are two. If you're an inventor, Jeff, you got to know those two websites, don't you?
You do. The government website shows you all the different patents. And I think that's actually from an IBM search engine in there.
It is.
And what a wonderful place to reference your own invention or see what else other people's have invented right around your invention, or to get new ideas for new inventions, or to have new ideas about certain aspects of your own invention. It's just a wonderful resource to have.
Well, the thing about it is, it's just, Jeffrey, it's just like a business owner. If you drive by a small business out there on the strip, what you have to realize is that one half of his business is knowing how to, being an expert in what he does or she does. And the other side is being an expert in running the business. The same kind of information that his neighbor or her neighbor who does something totally different has to know about. And so it's the same thing with inventing, isn't it? You got to know what you're inventing. You got to know your field, so to speak. But you've also got to understand the business of inventions.
Well, if you do go into your own business and start marketing it yourself, it's just as you said, you need to be now not an inventor. An invention is something that happens as a point in time. But if you run your own business, that happens over time. And that's it's a different set of skills that you need to run and manage a successful small business. If you license it, something that we didn't mention before, if you license your invention, something that I would mention to the people who are going to license your invention, ask them what their revenue goal is the first year and how much money they're putting into marketing it, because that'll tell you if it's going to be a serious investment for them. Not so much, because a lot of places will say, oh, we'd like your invention, and they'll get it, and then they'll let it sit on their shelf, and they'll tie you up. Mm-hmm. So that you can't market it to somebody else, and they'll take it off the market if it's a competing something that's competing. But if
so, it's worth $5,000 or $10,000 if they offer you that just to tie you up for a while.
Right. But if you ask them, well, what's your marketing goal? How much money are you going to put into marketing this in the first year? That'll give you an idea of the seriousness that they're going to move your idea forward.
Well, and you need to have that in the contract too, don't you?
Yes, you do. Well,
specific performance.
You should. Specific performance. And while there are no guarantees, that question probably should be asked sooner than later. I mean, people aren't going to guarantee a revenue stream. You know, they'd say, I'd like to make, you know, $10,000 or $80,000 or $200,000 from this product. But they won't guarantee that. But they can guarantee mm-hmm. how much money they'll invest in trying to market it.
Right. Right.
Important point.
Yeah, absolutely. UIAUSA.com is the trade group website, and USPTO.gov is the trademark and patent office website. Jeffrey, one of the things that I found is that a lot of entrepreneurs are great at launching something, but they're not all that good at running a business, and so they have to decide for themselves. You know, am I better at being the idea guy or the idea lady, or am I better at being, am I good at managing and marketing and that sort of thing? And inventors have to ask themselves that too, don't they? Am I an inventor or am I a business person?
Yes, the invention, and I've seen this, a lot of inventors shoot themselves in the foot with this, because they invent stuff, and the next logical step for an inventor is not to go on and market it and be in business and create a successful business. The next logical step for an inventor is to invent something else, because they're inventors. So you have to at one point say, where is my skill set? I'll also say, when you invent something and you pitch it to another firm or another company, you run into a lot of resistance, because you get into the not invented here syndrome.
Right.
And NIH is pretty strong. When you come in as an outside inventor pitching an idea, then what you're saying to that company is, you don't have anybody in your firm that's capable of producing a wonderful idea like me, and here's this idea for you to take.
Yeah. Hey, Jeffrey, got to wrap it up. Good job today. Thank you for helping us with this information, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Jeffrey Dobkin, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.